Hello everyone, can you hear me? Okay, I'm a little short, so I have to pull this down a little bit. My name is Susan Xiong. I'm from the University of Illinois at Chicago, and I'll be presenting on just a few of the selected variables and analysis for emergency shelters. We looked at only Illinois shelters for this project. It looks like it's cut off a little bit. So Kiyoshi and I worked on this project together. Kiyoshi is in the audience, and we're both from the University of Illinois at Chicago. Carla Cox is our state partner, and Brian Sodi is from the American Red Cross serving South Central Illinois. For some reason, this got cut off. So, and then I do not have anything to disclose. Okay, I apologize for the formatting because it did not look like this before. But okay, so background information: about 19% of adults in Illinois have a disability. During disasters, people with disabilities will need access to shelters like people without disabilities. So it's really important to make sure that potential shelter sites are accessible to people with a variety of disabilities, whether that be mental, intellectual, developmental, physical, emotional disabilities. And presently, there is a lack of information on available accessibility features of potential shelters. And the purpose of this study is to identify potential access barriers and the accessibility features available across Illinois shelters. And this will help us ultimately facilitate better shelter management and or planning during disasters to accommodate the needs of people with disabilities. In our analysis, presently available data will also allow us to give constructive feedback directly to American Red Cross, which will help improve the shelters. Okay. So the American Red Cross, we looked at the American Red Cross National Shelter System database. This is an active database, which means that it's always growing, so there's always new information that's being collected and the information is always being updated. So the analysis that the data that we used is from January 2015, but if we exported the data now, the information may look a little bit different just because it's an active database. And the active database, which is the NSS database, includes information about the location of the shelter, potential shelter sites, the capacity, managing agency contact information, as well as accessibility features. And for this database, trained Red Cross volunteers and staff survey the potential emergency shelters, and these potential sites include churches, schools, stadiums, libraries, and a lot more. And during disasters, Red Cross personnel utilizes the database to determine which sites to open. So based off of the needs of the population in that specific region, they'll look at what sites best meet these needs, the community's needs, and what we're really pushing for, as already stated in previous presentations, is that we want people with disabilities to be included in the planning and to make sure that their needs are also being met. So in the survey, there are 8 accessibility domains. The 8 accessibility domains are parking, exterior routes to facility, facility entrance interior routes to service areas, ramps, restrooms, showers, and service areas, such as eating areas or areas that provide other services, such as like health services. And then our controlled variables, we looked at two different topics. So the first one is based off of geographic areas. So we, in Illinois, we looked at metropolitan area, which is Chicago and the Collar Counties, which is the cities surrounding Chicago, and downstate is rural and suburban areas in Illinois. And then the other control variable is when the facility was built or modified, and we looked at pre-ADA, which is any buildings built or modified before 1993, and post-ADA means any buildings built or modified after 1993. And the significance of this is that in 1990, the Americans with Disabilities Act was passed, and one of the criteria is that public and governmental buildings must be accessible to people with disabilities. And the reason why we're looking at 1993 is because 1993 is when ADA was implemented, so that's one of the reasons why we focus primarily on before ADA implementation and after ADA implementation. And then today, as I mentioned earlier, I'm only presenting on select findings from the analysis just because of the time constraints of the presentation. So the first question that I looked at was whether or not the facility entrance meets ADA standards. And it requires, ADA standards requires that doors or entrances be at least 32 inches wide. And that's after the door is open. So that's not before the door is open, that's after, with the door propped open. And according to our analysis, buildings that were built before ADA implementation, 87.1% reported that they met the requirements, while 96.4% of post-ADA implementation buildings reported a higher rate at 96.4%. And then we also looked at metro and downstate, and metropolitan areas reported that they only 80.6% from the data that we looked at reported having accessible doors, as opposed to downstate with 93%, which is very interesting because you would think that it would be the opposite, where metropolitan areas would have a higher rate of accessibility features. However, it's consistently, you'll see in the next few examples that it's consistently the same, where pre-ADA is lower than post-ADA implementation, and metropolitan areas are lower than downstate. And the second variable that I looked at was whether or not there were steps in the routes to the surface area. And it shows that buildings built before 1993, 57.8% reported having steps, not having steps, and 75.6% of buildings built or modified after 1993 had a higher rate of not having steps. At 75.6, metropolitan areas had a very low rate at 25.9% in comparison to 74.1% of downstate. So this means I want to focus specifically on downstate and metro. I think the large gap is due to metropolitan areas having a higher likelihood of buildings having multiple levels. So this question doesn't ask about access to if elevators are available. So I think this may be the reason why the discrepancy is so high, is that metropolitan states metropolitan buildings tend to have are multi-leveled in comparison to downstate buildings. And I also looked at restroom turning space, which means that there's enough room for wheelchairs to turn, and the requirements is 60 inches in diameter. And as you can see, there is also the same discrepancy between pre-ADA and post-ADA metro and downstate. So the limitations to this study is that the data on accessibility features are only available for shelters surveyed after August 2011, which means that only 998 shelters, we only looked at 998 shelters out of, I believe it was 6,000, because the information wasn't, accessibility questions weren't added to the survey until 2011, which is problematic because we also do not know when the shelters surveyed before 2011 will be updated. And so that's one of the limitations. And this limitation adds to the results in the study being potentially biased because it doesn't fully represent all shelters or any recent modifications if available. And there's also a limited number of clear questions in the survey. Many questions are ambiguous, such as questions that ask about doorways, but they have three variables. So an example would be, does your door have knobs or levers, and is it an automatic door? Those should be separate questions, but these variables are asked in one question, which makes it very hard to analyze the data. So in conclusion, accessibility features are available in shelters, but they vary from shelter to shelter. And improving accessibility feature questions on the survey can enhance the data. And the preliminary analysis of the NSS data offers a starting point for further including people with disabilities in emergency preparedness and planning. Here are two resources, and we can come back to this page later if you'd like to access it. And I wanted to quickly talk about sample modifications. These are just an example of some low-cost solutions to increasing accessibility features within shelters, because we know that it can be very costly to install a permanent ramp. So as you can see, there's transportable temporary ramps that people can bring in. You can make the toilet seat that's really low a lot more accessible by adding the toilet seats, the extra seating. And then doorknobs are highly inaccessible, so one way to make them more accessible to people with disabilities is to include that additional feature of like having the temporary lever. So. And that's it. Thank you.